You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up at 7 o'clock tonight, it's Reveal. Tonight, all over the American wilds, bobcats are hunted for their beautiful pelts, often with controversial equipment. Reveal hears from people trapping and selling the animals, as well as animal rights activists who want the practice banned. That's tonight at 7 on Reveal. First, a bicyclist, a husband and a father of two children, one of them still on the way, was killed earlier this month near the town of Oregon. The driver who struck and killed the cyclist left the scene and will be facing criminal charges. That recent death, along with the bicyclist who was killed earlier in the summer along Highway 14, is causing some advocates to be angry. Dave Cheslevich, executive director of the Wisconsin Bike Federation, has been blogging about the rights of cyclists on the road, and our next guest says tensions between cars and bikes can run high. Mike Ivey joins us now. He's an avid cyclist himself, as well as a longtime journalist and current talk radio host and freelance writer. He wrote about the recent death of that Dane County cyclist and the aftermath for Madison Magazine. Mike, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
So what do we know about what happened when this cyclist near Oregon was struck and killed by a truck earlier this month?
Well, it was a guy who was out training for a triathlon about 6:30 in the morning, a fairly well-bicycled town road east of Oregon, and he was struck from behind, apparently, by a guy driving a truck who did not stop at the scene. And someone later came out and found the guy dead, and now the driver is going to face some fairly serious charges, but just for the hit and run. If he had stayed at the scene, he likely would have probably maybe just gotten a traffic ticket. And I think that's one of the things that bicycling advocates and the Wisconsin Bike Fed is trying to push. There really is no charge that can be added on to a bicycle crash, short of trying to charge someone with negligent homicide, which is a felony and a very difficult thing to prove. They're pushing for something called a vulnerable users law. About 9 other states have a vulnerable users law. It more or less gives district attorneys some leeway between charging a driver with homicide and just a basic traffic ticket. It would add additional fines, and it would also be charged as a misdemeanor. Just one quick example here. There's a woman a couple of years ago outside of Menasha. She fell asleep at the wheel and then hit a guy who was waiting on his bike at a stop sign, and she got a $248 fine was all that happened to her. And she clearly had been at fault and fallen asleep. So I think, you know, anytime a bicyclist is killed or badly injured, it really sends shockwaves through the biking community, because a lot of these people know each other. It's a fairly close-knit community. And now with social media, the minute there's an accident, it goes out to everybody. So, there's so many more people riding bikes now, and we have more cars on the road. So it's not a new thing that there's been tension between bicyclists and drivers, but anytime there's an accident like this, it really brings things to the forefront.
Right. So what kind of response did this most recent guest near the town of Oregon, this most recent death, get from cycling advocates?
Well, I mean, if you read Dave Cheslevich's blog, he more or less had said he hopes this guy is convicted and rots in jail was really the way he had worded it. It did create a lot of anger. I think if you look at the driving record of the driver, he'd had some previous brushes with the law. And he said at the time he thought he had hit a deer, and I think that comment really angered a lot of people, because, I mean, let's face it, when you're on a bicycle and you hit by a car, an egg being dropped, you know, from 10 stories, you're going to come out a loser every time. And those driving a car does come with rights or responsibilities to be aware of what's out there. So I know bicyclists often ride in fear. As I wrote in my column for Madison Magazine, I've been riding bikes almost for half a century now. I'm sort of ashamed to admit, but I think things are a lot better than they used to be. I think most drivers tend to be more aware. I think bicyclists, as a general rule, are know that writing courteously and trying to get along with people, using hand signals, for example, where appropriate, trying to make eye contact at stop signs, all those things go a long way toward improving the reputation of bicyclists.
It's interesting, though, this article of yours in Madison Magazine, reading the comments, people are still kind of upset of it, and they're coming from different perspectives there, from the perspective of drivers and from the perspective of bicyclists. And some of the criticism there about your piece, some people saying, well, bicyclists should be paying more to use these roads. They don't share the same cost burden that drivers face, so maybe they shouldn't have the same rights. And you also made a point in your piece about how you, as a serious cyclist, someone like you, you don't want to do a full stop at a stop sign. You don't want to put a foot down anyway. And people said, well, they should put a foot down. So there are these simmering tensions.
Yeah, exactly. I make the comparison that coming to a complete stop at a stop sign, especially if no one's there, would be akin to stopping your car, turning off the engine, getting out and getting back in and turning your engine on again. With a bike, it's momentum. It's human-generated. You're supplying the wattage to move your vehicle forward. Idaho, for example, has a law called the Idaho Stop, is how it's kind of referred to colloquially. But it means that the stop sign is treated as a yield for bicyclists. So if no one's there, you can go ahead and cruise through. With that said, that's probably the number one complaint I get from people, because they see bikes, he didn't stop, or they're getting away with something that I can't do myself. I guess my comeback to that is, the old momentum thing, and you're, as a bicyclist, if you do slam into somebody, you're probably going to hurt yourself a lot more than you would their car. In terms of bikes not paying their fair share, I mean, I would add that I know of very few bicyclists who don't also own a car and pay a registration fee, and we're avoiding paying the gas tax. So maybe that's the one way you look at it. But I think that's been an issue for Wisconsin for a long time going forward. But bicyclists, we've got a long reputation in this state, going back even to the 19th century, of bikes kind of fighting for their share of the road. They used to fight it out with a horse and buggy, and now they may be fighting it more out with the pickup truck drivers.
Talking with Mike Ivey right now. He's a journalist and a radio host, and he wrote a piece for Madison Magazine looking at the recent death of a bicyclist in Dane County who was struck and killed by a truck, and looking at how that has reignited some of this debate about a vulnerable users law and the relationship between cars and bicyclists on the road. And Mike, we have a comment here from Vicky on Facebook who says, I think that cyclists need to follow the rules of the road more. I'm actually shocked on the rare occasions when I see someone signal or stop at a stop sign. More often, she says, I see them riding two or three across on hilly or curvy roads with no shoulders and whipping through stop signs. So one perspective there, and Vicky's not the only one to sort of get at this, but what would you say to her?
Well, I would point out that by law, Wisconsin bicyclists are allowed to ride two abreast. If you look at the statutes. In fact, this law was passed under Governor Tommy Thompson, and it was had the support of the motorcycle community, who also wanted to be able to ride two abreast on the road. I do hear that a lot. People will come by, there'll be cyclists going side by side. Single file! I get that call a lot from people. But if you look at the state statutes, you are allowed to ride two abreast. With that said, I think Vicky makes a point about having some common courtesy out there. If you're in a group or what I would call a peloton, a pack of cyclists, if you watch some of the racing. But there's lots of groups of people out there. And if you see a car stuck behind you, I mean, I think it would make sense to try and pull to the side. I'm constantly telling my biking buddies to car back, and then we try and pull over to the side. The stop sign thing, I don't know if there's any way to really solve that. I think, again, they're getting away with something. I don't think it's a case where cyclists are blowing through a stop sign and getting hit by a car. Personally, I always try and make eye contact with the driver, use a lot of hand signals. If I come to a stop sign and I see someone waiting at a four-way, I try and wave them through and get them to keep moving. I'm not going to defend the actions of every bicyclist. However, I see people going the wrong way on streets, riding down the sidewalks when it's busy, blowing through stoplights, which is probably never really a good idea either.
Let's take a caller here. We've got John on the line in Shawnee. John, hi.
Oh, hi, guys. Great topic, of course. My good old Trek 1220 1990s road bike is in my garage. I don't ride it as much as I should anymore. I'm 50. But anyway, not an excuse, huh? Anyway, but I rode years and years in Milwaukee, graduated high school in 1984. I would drive very, very fast going through certain neighborhoods and do the nonstop at red lights and whatnot, like you were talking about. Now I'm living up in rural Wisconsin for many years, but with lots of Amish, and I have almost, you know, crested a hill and taken out a buggy just driving a car.
John, thank you so much for those comments there as a bicyclist and as a driver, where you're driving with horses and buggies in the picture.
I might add that John makes a point. The vulnerable users law would also apply to horse and buggy drivers. So it's people who are basically using the public roadway and are not a motorized vehicle. They would get added protections under this vulnerable users law.
Mike Ivey stays with us right now, talking about some tensions that can occur between cars and other motorized vehicles and bicycles who share the road, looking at the conversation around this and a possible vulnerable users law after a recent death of a bicyclist in Dane County who was struck and killed by a truck. And we want to hear from you on this. If you're a cyclist, how do you think that relations on the road between cars and bikes, how is it going right now? Mike says he thinks it's gotten better over the years. Do you share that feeling? Do you feel safe on the road if you're a cyclist? And do you think we need a vulnerable users law to protect cyclists and other vulnerable users as, for instance, buggies with horses and the Amish? And do cyclists need to pay more for the roads that they ride on? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll be back with this conversation after a short break here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert, and we're continuing our discussion now with Mike Ivey, talking about the conversation that's come up after the recent death of a bicyclist in Dane County who was struck and killed by a truck near the town of Oregon. He was a husband and a father, and the driver in that case will be faced with criminal charges because he left the scene. And looking at what that debate is like now between cars and bikes, and also looking at the prospect of a vulnerable users law. And we'd like to hear from you on this at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Do you feel safe as a cyclist? Do you feel that there is a good back and forth, a good sharing of the road between cars and bicyclists right now? What is your experience? And what do you think about this possible law? Call 800-642-1234. And we'll take our another caller now. John is with us in Decorah. John, hi. John, you there?
Hopefully I'm coming out into some more receptive area here. How's that? A little bit better?
There, we got you. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah, no, I haven't ridden my bike this year, I don't think at all, but I have been a biker in the past and biked to work, and I fully realize the danger that you feel when you're on a small, I mean, Wisconsin is great in contrast to Iowa, because most of your backcountry roads and stuff are paved, but so few of our roads have a lane for bicycles. They've basically evolved to serve car, truck, and, you know, I guess to a lesser extent, but equally important, farm machinery and stuff like that. And you do feel, so vulnerable when you're riding. You want to be on the pavement, like I'm on a road right now where I'm pulling over. But it just goes right to grass and then a steep ditch, and so there's really not room for bikes. And it's nothing to do with, I mean, I was telling your screener that I try to tell myself, look, all I have to do is hope that I can see all bicyclists, because all I have to do is press on my brake pedal where they're just...
Right. Thank you, John. And John, getting at the infrastructure itself, it's evolved to, he says, favor cars. What do you think about that, Mike?
Well, I mean, roads were paved for automobile traffic, at the after the 20s and 30s. But I think we've come a long way in terms of trying to accommodate bikes as well. The incredible growth of the off-road path has been great, and I think has introduced whole groups of people to bicycling that otherwise wouldn't ride, because it is kind of scary out there with the cars. And also, Wisconsin's Department of Transportation, I think, is for the most part, has been pretty good in terms of adding lanes, and there's different communities. It varies community by community.
And John, thanks a lot for that. And let's go next to Paul joining us in Madison. Hi, Paul.
Hi there. Would like to.
Oh no, let's see. I think you might have been talking about pedestrians. Where do pedestrians fit into the picture, Mike? Do they have the right of way when it comes to bikes, and how do bikes handle that?
I think pedestrians should always have the right of way. Period. Cyclists. I think it's scary when you're walking and some guy comes bombing up behind you on his bike and goes shooting around you. I also saw in here there's a question about electric bikes on the bike paths, and I think that's going to be an emerging issue. Dave Chazovich has talked about that.
What's the issue there?
Well, right now, electric bikes are not permitted on the off-road bike trails. And electric bikes are not, it's not so much a motorcycle, but they have an assist. It helps you go up the hills. And I think as the population continues to age and more people want to get out there too, they're going to have to figure out some way to accommodate the electric bike user as well. But, bottom line, I think pedestrians should always have the right of way. Because if you hit a pedestrian with your bike, you both can get messed up.
And, Mike, let's go back to the vulnerable users law you talked about. I know it's been stalled. Where is it right now? What's the status?
Well, I think there's quite a bit of enthusiasm that they were going to get it through, and sort of a watered-down version of it did pass and was signed by the governor, but that only called for more education. And from what I understood, it was all set to pass in the last session, but there were a couple of Republicans who weren't comfortable with it, and the Speaker was reluctant to move something forward unless it had complete support from everybody. I think the Bike Fed's going to probably lobby again and try and get it to move forward. I know they were trying to enlist the support of the motorcycle community, because this could apply to them as well. Same thing with a motorcycle. I mean, if you get hit, it's hard to really charge somebody with a crime. But there's been some reluctance on the side of the motorcycle people, I think, to get on board with it.
Got another caller here. We've got Michael with us in Milwaukee. Michael, hi.
Howdy.
What did you want to share, Mike?
Yes. Number one, I think bikes should be licensed if they're going to be sharing the public road. And number two is I see a lot of bikes up where I am on Brown Deer and Lake Drive, just probably literally tens and tens and tens and tens going through the stop sign all the time up there. So if you're going to be on the road, then you should be obeying the signs.
All right, Michael, thank you for that. And Mike?
Yeah, by law, you're supposed to stop at the stop signs. But again, I point out that most cyclists, if the coast is clear, it's a real loss of momentum to try and stop and come to a stop. Other states have tried to pass laws that would make it more of a yield. In terms of paying their fair share, bicyclists, as I pointed out before, most bicyclists do own cars and pay that registration fee. I might add that it's not free to ride on the state bike trails. You're required to buy a $25 bike pass, and I think that purchase of that bike path has somewhat come to replace the license that we all used to get. I remember as a kid, you'd get a metal license plate that would hang off the back of your seat and go down every year and get registered. I'm not sure that many people do register their bikes anymore.
Mike, if you are a cyclist and you're out on the road, maybe one of these country roads in the driftless area that dips and winds.
The kind we all like to ride
right,
on.
Right, those beautiful roads. What do you recommend for both for drivers and for cyclists?
Well, one thing
safe?
I think that I've seen come around in the last few years for bicyclists is that blinking red light that a lot of people have on their bikes now with the LED light with the battery lasts forever.
Even during the day?
Yeah, because I've noticed even riding with my buddies, when I see that flashing red light back there, it's just that extra split second, that you can pick somebody up. So I suggest that. I think wear bright color jerseys. That always helps. People laugh at the middle ager in the tights and the goofy looking shirt. But partly a bright colored shirt does help give you a little more visibility. In terms of automobile cars, you just got to be aware of what's out there. I think rural drivers have gotten used to sort of looking for deer leaping out at dusk or dawn. You need to have that same sort of awareness about the bicyclists, because the bicyclists are not going to disappear. And you do need, by law, you are supposed to give people minimum 3 feet of passage. And, you know, bikes are supposed to ride as far to the right as practicable. That's the way the laws are really written. So maybe some more education on both ends would be helpful.
Does that mean in the gravel? That's something I've been confused about as a cyclist. So if I'm on the pavement and a car comes, should I be in the gravel?
No. You're never supposed to ride in the gravel. In fact, you've got, you have a right to that road. In fact, I mean, cars aren't going to hear this, but you have a right to ride as far over to the center line as you want. I mean, legally, that's the legal law. The law says not practicable. That's probably not that practicable, and you're going to get honked at. Or you may feel more dangerous out there. I always feel a little safer to the side.
Cars can get around you.
Yeah, I'm one of these hard cars. I've been out there. I'm riding with my middle school age son now, and he's kind of getting used to riding in traffic. And we live in downtown Madison, and it's scary out there for a little guy. So
we'll leave it there, Mike. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts today and reporting on this.
Always
with us.
Happy to be here.
That was Mike Ivey. He is a longtime journalist, current talk radio show host, freelance writer. Also, as you hear there, he's an avid cyclist, and he wrote about the recent death of a Dane County cyclist and the aftermath, especially as it pertains to a vulnerable user's law, for Madison Magazine. And you can catch that magazine over on the Central Time Facebook page. Share your thoughts while you're there. We'd love to hear what you have to say about this. I'm Veronica Rickert. Rob Ferret is out today. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.